The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord. So now, open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. And Father, we thank you again tonight, this evening, for being so good, the goodness of God. And we thank you for your written word. We thank you for your spoken word. And we especially thank you for the Spirit of the living God that abides within us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saying, it's the Father within me. He does the works. Well, it's the same Father doing the same works today. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, in the 11th chapter of Mark, the book of Mark only has 16 chapters. And it's good sometimes just to read it. The book of Philippians only has 4. The book of Galatians, 5. And just sit down. It's a letter. Surely you can read a letter without it taking 2 or 3 days to read it. You just sit down and read the letter. It was written to you. So, in the book of Mark, chapter 11. Oh, this whole chapter is just so rich. I have it so marked up. And I believe it was George Whitefield said, when you find a person that has a Bible that's coming apart, that person is not. Amen. That's good. And you read all the way through this. Now, let's start reading with the 10th verse. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David. Really wasn't he used me even starting up here. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in verse 9, and they went before and that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna unto the highest. Jesus entered entered Jerusalem and into the temple. Now, there's something here. Listen to this. Remember, particularly in John's writings, and I paraphrase, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Now, in the ministry of Jesus, always apply that. He said, I came to do the will of him who sent me. So that means that healing and miracles were the absolute will of God then, and God never changes, and Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't know how anybody could come up with the fact that healing has passed away. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. He would have had to change his name.
That's right.
And that's not going to happen. And if that's so, what day did it stop? It hasn't. Because he hasn't stopped and he never will. And everything we see here needs to be looked at and studied and most importantly, meditate upon it. Think about it. Look at it. Go back and look at it some more. Put yourself in there. And see it in your spirit. When it says, behold, behold. Stop and behold some things. I take communion quite often. And the artist, that big long table. I don't think any of those men had Bibles. They absolutely could not have studied it and come up with that huge table. It'd have to be a table for 26. There are only 13 of them with Jesus in the middle. No. It was in the middle of the night in an upper room. It was very dimly lit. And if there was a table, it was very low. They were sitting and lounging. John was, he was lounging over on Jesus. And he's the one, he called himself the apostle that Jesus loved. He's the only one that died a natural death. The only one. Well, anyway, when you flow with it, now I want you to notice something about this right here. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. I suggest that you put Acts chapter 3, verse 1 there. He entered into the temple. The man at the beautiful gate was there. Now, if you read closely, during that last Passover meal, he had to get Judas out of there before he could actually minister. He said, what you do quickly. In other words, get out of here. Acts chapter 3. Peter said, look on us. And he looked expecting to receive something of them. Well, of course he did. When they said Jesus told Judas to leave the room, they said, maybe he went to give something to the poor. You have to have a giving reputation, brother, in the middle of the night in a Passover meal to go give something to the poor. So you know good and well, every time he went into the temple, he had Judas put something in the man's hand. That's the reason he was expecting to receive something. That's good. That comes from just meditating, looking, and thinking. And so, anyway, let's go ahead here. He entered into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. He went in there and looked around. He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He hadn't heard. He had to go home and pray about it. Then he went in there the next day and took care of business. Glory to God. Amen. Most people center up on the cleansing of the temple. But that was just the beginning. When he got all of that straightened out and straightened that mess out, then he preached. Yeah. And he preached just about all day. I've only done that a couple of times. And it was some people that wanted to have a day apart in Shreveport. So they said, come over here and preach faith to us. We just want to have a day apart. We'll bring food in and everything. And I said, well, you know, okay. I didn't know what a day apart meant, and they meant it. It was a day apart. And I got through that, and they said, come on, brother. We have another meeting over at the center there. Okay, here we go. Amen. Anyway, I enjoyed it. So, now, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. You see, yet is is italicized. Christy, could you put that up in the Classic Amplified, please, that verse? The Amplified goes into detail on it, and you'll see what happened. Seeing in the distance a fig tree covered with leaves, he went to see if he could find any fruit on it. For in the fig tree, the fruit appears at the same time as the leaves. But when he came up to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the fig season hadn't yet come. That tree was out of season. Somebody said, don't you think Jesus knew that? Don't be challenging him. What happened in the garden? The first act of any human being trying to meet his own needs without God was to dress himself in fig leaves. And this fig leaf this fig tree is going to suffer the consequences. There's a big something here now. Now, wait a minute. Jesus answered and said to it. He didn't answer and talk to his disciples. He answered and he spoke to that tree. When he came into Peter's house, saw his wife, mother, sick of a fever, he rebuked the fever. So fever can hear, and so can trees. Amen. My dad had a corner lot around his house, and in Texas there are different kind of oak trees. And there were black oaks in that yard. They're pretty trees. And he had a lot of them there. But they got web worms on them. Just webs all over them. And the tree people said, well, Mr. Copeland, you can just forget it. We'll just have to take those trees up and replant. He said, no, you're not going to do that. So my dad got his Bible, and he went out there, and he spoke to every tree. Spoke to every one of them. Blessed them, and told the webworms to get out. Turned around and left it with it. And they began to die just a little bit at a time, and all the webs disappeared, and the trees are just lovely. And the last time I saw that place, it's just wonderful, just beautiful. The first little house Gloria and I had, we planted a tree in the front yard of that thing. And it just got to where it was a stick. And you just kind of water around in that hole. So I went out there and just sat down, straddled that tree, and read the Bible to it. And I read these verses, and I said, now, tree, Jesus talked to a fig tree, and I'm talking to you. And you're going to live and not die. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will live and not die. Well, it wasn't all that long later till we sold that house and moved into another house. I didn't think about it, but then we drove back over there one day just to show the kids what the neighborhood had done. You should have seen that tree. It was just beautiful. It just shaded the whole front yard. That was a blessed tree, and the devil couldn't kill it. I was out mowing. Now, my idea of absolutely nothing to do is to mow a yard. I was not born for that, particularly an old push mower. And I said, Gloria, let's just put pretty white gravel all over this yard. No, she said, we won't have a yard here. It's a brand new little project house. Well, I was out there mowing that yard. We'd come in from on the road. And I was out there mowing that front yard, just a little bit of yard. And he came up on the inside of him, mow the neighbor's yard. I said, I really don't want to do that. And on the inside, he said, I need you to put your feet on that yard. That's good. That's just a driveway between us. So I just pushed the mower across the driveway. When I got over there in their yard, I enjoyed it. And I just got happy and I thought, what if they're looking out here? I don't care if they are. I'm going to mow this yard. And it had grown up pretty good. I mowed it, cleaned it up, went on back, swept the driveway, didn't say anything about it. And it was, probably 2 weeks or so we were back home, maybe 3 weeks to get home. Got a knock on the front door, and it was Mrs. Lemon. She said, I'm Mrs. Lemon, I'm from next door. I said, yes, ma'am, I know that. She said, I want to tell you something. Did you know that Jesus Christ is Lord? Did you know that He is the Savior? I said, yes, ma'am. Do you understand? She went to preaching to me. And I said, lady, wait, I am in the ministry. Oh, well, I want to tell you something. All right. I said, hold it a minute. Tell me the story. Well, she said, you know the little Presbyterian church down here about two blocks around? I said, yes. She said there was a lay witness meeting, came in there, and she said our whole family got saved, and we are so thrilled. I'm going to get this whole neighborhood saved. Well, all I had to do was mow a yard and claim the ground. Amen. I did what I heard my father say. Amen. So now, he went into the temple. Now look what he said. He answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. 9 words. And his disciples heard it. He was not quiet about it. And they came to Jerusalem. He just said it. He spoke to it. Went on to Jerusalem. That is it. The tree's done. Now, he did not decide why no man would eat fruit of it again hereafter forever. It could have stood there till now and there wouldn't be any fruit on it. Lightning could hit it. Jesus didn't make that choice. He just said it. But he spoke directly to it. And left. Turned his back on it. Went into the temple. They came to Jerusalem. He went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? You've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now he knew what to do and what to say when he went in there. But he didn't do it the day before. If you have a strong business meeting coming up and you have some real decisions to make, don't just jump into it. Take some time. Well, we have to do this today. No, we don't. We have a saying in the aviation community. You just stop and wind your watch. If somebody flies off the handle at you, go in here. One of the first meetings we held out on our own. Oh, Lord. Been there 3 weeks. Great meeting. And I was preaching on the righteousness of God. Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, righteousness had spoken. And this woman began in tongues, just going. I said, lady, hold that. She just kept on. I said, lady, come on, hold that. She just kept on. I said, lady, will you shut up? And the man that was with her said, Brother Copeland, she can't hear a word you say. She's deaf. Well, now I'm the enemy. I didn't know what to do. So I just dropped my head. I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, call her up here and lay hands on her and I'll open her ears. I can't stop then and say, yeah, but what if he doesn't? No. I said, would you bring her up here, please? I found out later that he did that to people on purpose. And he would tell her, it's time for your gift now.
Right.
He brought her up there, and she just stood there in front of me and just smiled. She thought she'd done what she's supposed to do. She didn't hear anything I said. And so I just put my hands on her and put my fingers in her ears and just stood there and prayed in the Spirit for a few minutes. Just prayed for a little bit there and opened it. She said, oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, yes. And she could hear. Now the other guy is the crook. Wind your watch. Just stop. And if you have to repent, repent. And I said, well, let me just teach you some things now about that. And so we got over into the gifts of the Spirit and talked about that. So now, in the morning, as they passed by. Now, it's been 12 hours. Do the timeline. It's been 12 hours. They went home, got up early in the morning, went to the temple, came back. And he preached. He didn't say anything. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, look at that fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus didn't even mention that fig tree. What did he say? Have faith in God. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice what he did. He spoke to it. He spoke the end results. Turned his back on it. Didn't pay any attention to it. Just left it in the hands of the Spirit of God and the angels to see to it. He didn't care how. He said it, spoke to it, and that was over. Now, this is a fundamental of faith. What are you watching when you watch the World Series? Masters of the fundamentals. What are you watching when you watch the Super Bowl? Masters of the fundamentals. You start at the basics, which is where we are right now. And I don't care how long you've been walking by faith. There's times I have to just go back in my study and go get Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25 and just sit there and think about it and talk about it. And Gloria and I just visit about it and talk about it. And other, Jerry and I just sit around and talk about it. David Weeder and I sit around and talk about it. And talk about how it worked in David's life. If you can't find it all over the Bible, then it's not the truth. Because the whole Bible is a faith book. How could I ever have God's faith? Why did this not happen? Why did that happen? How do you use faith to move a mountain?
Join Kenneth Copeland as he sets the foundation for what faith is, how to move a mountain. 15 messages available on MP3 disc, DVD, or for download. Get the truth about faith. Learn what it is and what it's not. Over 50 years of faith teaching collected in one place, simplified and accessible. Identify your faith. Develop it. Find out how it works and put it to work in your life, the way God set it up to operate. Whether you feel like you're well-versed in faith and how it works, or you've just been introduced to the concept, this Back to the Basics teaching will refocus your understanding and set you on the right track to moving the mountains in your life. You have enough faith to do whatever God has called you to do. Request your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's series entitled Faith Is, How to Move a Mountain on kcm.org/victory offer or when you call 877-615-4267. Stand up and step into everything God has called you to do when you discover the power of living by faith. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren, and I want to take this moment and read something to you from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To be saved or born again is as simple as asking Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord of your life. The faith of God comes into your born-again spirit, and that faith connects you to the blessing of the Lord. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for giving me your Son. I receive him as my Lord and Savior, and I'm thanking you now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Today you begin your new life in Christ. God put his faith into your born-again spirit. Now begin to develop that faith with his word. To help you understand how to do that, KCM has some free resources to send you. It's called the Salvation Package. It includes a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Read through this book and step into the good life God has for you. There are also two brochures to help you start reading your Bible and learn how to grow spiritually as you study the Word of God. Request your salvation package today on kcm.org. While you're online, you'll find many other free resources and information on our website. Share videos, prayers, articles, and more with your family and friends. Brother Copeland calls kcm.org your study center. So visit often and make it your go-to place for the word-based teaching. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Learn more about who you are in Jesus and who he is in you. Request the Salvation Package, free on kcm.org/newlife.